So if you are like coming back from a vacation 2 weeks and you want to see what's new, the Viking introduces you to everything that's new. And yeah, it's a really fun way of engaging employees, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I was really surprised by this. And that's what I'm looking for when looking for a human-centric tool. So being welcomed by the tool and being somehow entertained as well, yeah, and get all the information there.
Yeah. And I love that you use the word entertained, because that kind of shows the emotionality, right? I mean, if we speak about processes, we always go like input, outputs, who's responsible, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. But people are still people, right? It's a people business, and people want to feel welcome. They want to be informed, even if they could do it on themselves. So that's the whole point of change management. And that's a big part of our work.
Welcome to the New Process Podcast. Learn all the tools, methods, and best practices combined with people, emotions, and a human-centric mindset to rethink your process and push it to the next level. And here is your host, Mirko Kloppenburg.
Yeah, welcome to episode 19 of the New Process Podcast. Today, I'm talking to Vincent Fischer from Modell Aachen to learn more about their tool, KubeWiki. Vincent joined Modell Aachen in 2018 to advise clients on processes with a focus on management systems in the role of a process management consultant. Over the years, he transitioned into his current role as head of consulting and COO. Modell Aachen was founded in 2009 from Fraunhofer ITP, the largest institute for production engineering in Europe. They describe themselves as obsessed with human-centric process management that creates impact. Interactivity between process participants and process descriptions are at the core of their software. With an annual growth rate of over 30%, more than 800 organizations in Germany, Austria, and Switzerland are using KubeWiki. As I learned in the interview, Vincent was born and raised in the city of Heidelberg, and he told me that it's almost impossible to avoid playing rugby when growing up in Heidelberg. But after numerous international appearances for the German national team, he concentrated on his studies in the field of industrial engineering. And now he's my guest in the New Process Podcast. So in this episode, you will learn what KubeWiki is all about. We'll talk about the underlying philosophy, how they document processes, and how the tool supports the new process principles to rethink processes and to get to a more human-centric BPM. He'll also share information on the future roadmap, their pricing model, as well as how to test the tool. And you'll learn what the Viking is all about. So enjoy the episode with Vincent Fischer.
And now, let's start to rethink processes.
Yeah, welcome, Vincent. I'm super interested to learn more about KubeWiki today. Another tool in my search for a human-centric BPM tool. So let's see what we can learn today. Welcome, Vincent.
Thanks for having me, Mirko. Nice to meet you here.
Yeah, great. Then let's start with a check-in. So what do you prefer in an aircraft, aisle or window seat?
So I think I can't open to an airline guy with saying that I love riding a train. if I fly, which happens more often, I prefer the window seat, I guess. That's because I'm a big sleeper, and that gives me the chance to sleep undisturbed without people having to climb over me. And besides that, if people get off the plane, you know the people who hurry a lot, and I usually don't, so I can let the others go first if I'm at the window seat.
Yeah, just relaxed. That's very good. And what is your favorite airport?
So. Thinking about that, of course, the big ones are impressive, right? I mean, landing in New York and John F. Kennedy and all those are great. But I really personally love the small ones because they have shorter distances and probably because I also associate them with exotic adventures abroad, right? And I think one of the smallest I've been has been in Indonesia. It's called Ende Airport. And it was incredible to me because, they were the same six people, who were the ticket sellers. They also were the security and were checking all the persons. And then they turned out to be the flight crew. So that was amazing to me. And, I really enjoyed, the experience there.
Yeah, that's cool. Reminds me a little bit of Mannheim. I was flying once or several times from Mannheim to Hamburg, and that airport is so tiny. Yeah.
That one is really small, but I grew up in Heidelberg, and people don't know that Heidelberg actually has it's not an airport, right? But it's like a street, you could say, because that was what the American soldiers used for the airpost. And so that's really that's the smallest airport I know in Germany.
Yeah. Okay, I've been in Heidelberg only once. I can't remember that trip because it was after a long party night. So
sounds like Heidelberg.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, but let's get back to the check-in. And what was the best process you have ever experienced?
So I guess personally, I'm really obsessed by processes that are directly contributing to value that is delivered to end customers, right? Because I think, in an essence, that's the whole point of an organization, right? That's their purpose in the best sense. And often it is through those processes that they build or maintain their competitive advantage. So it might come to your surprise that I would answer differently, right? That I really, really love a well-managed process that handles internal projects because I think the problem it solves is just huge. Because let's face it, many organizations are very good with initiating new projects, planning projects, making plans, starting things, coming up with great names for strategic initiatives. But in reality, I rarely see organizations that are really great at finishing and actually closing internal projects. And many things in reality never really come to an end. They just die somewhere on the way. And so that's why I really like seeing companies that are running their internal projects well. And I think that's a process, definitely. And maybe it's interesting for your listeners because most often I think that those companies have their focus on actually closing and finishing projects rather than starting new ones. And that's what in the end drives this process to be successful, I think.
Yeah, that's super interesting. And I remember some
organizations that love to start initiatives.
Yeah, definitely. And then, okay, let's talk about something else. So perfect. How would you describe your relationship to processes?
I guess it comes together when saying unexcited but opinionated. And that might really sound strange because with Kuviki, we help organizations to improve their processes through collaboration. So professionally, that's all what I'm about, right? And I'm convinced that an organization can only be permanently successful if it has their processes in check, right? But I didn't invent the idea of a process. It's not new, right? So it's not exciting to me in that sense. Of course, all the developments also like process mining, no-code digitalization, etc. That's exciting. But the idea of a process is kind of given to me. And maybe to use the analogy, in my eyes, a process are to organization what shoes are to runners, right? So you can take them off. You cannot make use of them, but it really hurts. And in the end, they should feel natural. They should be supportive and they shouldn't cut off the blood flow, right? So that's why I'm often amazed at how explicitly people talk about the importance of processes, because for me, it's given, right? In my world, the existence of a process is a necessity that arises from the collaboration between different people, between humans and machines, between organizations also. And processes are just a consequence of the division of labor, if you think about it. And if you want to optimize that work being done, you really should think about the sequence of activities from start to finish, right? That's what people mean when they say from end to end. Mm-hmm. And in my eyes, or at the end of the day, that's just the core. That should be the core of process management.
Okay. Yeah, that's so true. Okay.
Can you relate to that unexcitement if you think about the fundamental idea of a process?
Absolutely. I'm always asking, what's the alternative? So if there is no process, what do you do without? So
yeah.
That's Yeah, that's true. Okay, cool. Yeah. So then let's have a closer look onto your tool, which is QWiki or QWiki. Could you describe to our listeners what the underlying philosophy of the tool is to start off?
So, if you look at our company, website, we always say, we are Modell Aachen and we stand for interactive management systems. And if you look closer to that, we really mean that modern process communication is multilateral. So it's not a one-way street. It's not top down and it should be in all directions, or actually it is in all directions. And as a tool, we enable that multilateral communication about processes. And that is because we really care about helping employees conducting their processes, right? So enabling the process participants, and we think that they should have the lowest entry barrier to retrieve the knowledge they need to actually conduct their process, and B, to share their knowledge with a process model, right? So if they make an experience, if they have a great idea to improve the process, that's the point where we really want them to engage with the process model and to enrich it with their knowledge. And that's why we think, maybe that's interesting to your listeners that who are looking for a tool, we are really stressing the point that it's very important to think about whom you are addressing, right? Are you trying to address humans? Are you trying to address a software? What's the point? Whom are you addressing with your process models? And that might sound a bit extreme, but I think personally, and we can argue about that, but if you're trying to address a human being, they shouldn't need to learn a new process language to retrieve the information given in the process. They just really want the information that's necessary for them to conduct their process. And if you're trying to address a human, don't try to impress somebody with your process notation. Basically, that's my opinion here. To summarize the term interactive management system in 3 points, I would say it's synchronicity, decentralization, and integration. So with synchronicity, I mean that real-world decision. So sitting in a leadership meeting and making a decision that changes a process, that should be reflected in your documentation nearly synchronized. Decentralization, we really think that you should put process owners in the driver's seat, right? So your employees are in the driver's seat when it comes to processes. And integration basically means that employees can use the system as their, or in their day-to-day work, and that's where the benefit come from. That's the 3 characteristics that I would like to summarize interactive management systems.
Okay, cool. That's interesting. And how does the tool look like? So the interface and so on.
So obviously, if you ask me, I would say it's very easy. It's lightweight. It's simple. Sure. I mean, have a look yourself. I think you already looked into QWiki.
Yeah, I already had one, and I was really surprised by the Viking welcoming me there. So maybe you can tell the listeners a little bit more about that.
Yeah, sure. So we really thought about how to make the product as simple as possible, but still we recognize that people want to be introduced to the system, right? They want to be welcomed. They want to emotionally feel welcomed in the system. So that's why we started with guided tours, and we came up with the Viking that introduces you to the system if you enter it once, and it stays there. So if you are like coming back from a vacation 2 weeks and you are want to know again where like the top bar search, okay, that's an easy one. But if you want to see what's new, the Viking introduces you to everything that's new. And it's a really fun way of engaging employees, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I was really surprised by this. And that's what I'm looking for when looking for a human-centric tool, so being welcomed by the tool and being somehow entertained as well, and get all the information there.
Yeah, and I love that you use the word entertained, because that kind of shows the emotionality, right? I mean, if we speak about processes, we always go like input, outputs, who's responsible, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. But people are still people, right? It's a people business and people want to feel welcome. They want to kind of be informed, even if they could do it on themselves. So that's the whole point of change management. And that's a big part of our work. Yeah, I think to secure the also sustainable user engagement, it comes back to lowering the entry barrier to engage with the software. Right. So if you think about the value of the system, of a process management system, is directly and causally related or connected to the engagement rate. So if you're writing processes and nobody looks at them, nobody uses them, nobody makes use of them, it doesn't change the company a bit. And just to give you a concrete understanding, maybe sometimes it's nice to hear some numbers to understand what I mean with user engagement. It isn't uncommon for a medium-sized company, let's say 500, 600 employees, to have 2/3 of the employee logging into the system every month and retrieving information. And if you count the numbers, that ends up in having a system that has over 20,000 views per month. And and that's what I really like about the interactivity, right? It's not only retrieving the information, but also enriching the process models with the experience you make. So that's why we always look at the amount of edits done per month. And mm-hmm. in that scenario, that might be over 1,000 small and big edits that in the end lead to 200 approved or 150 to 200 approved process improvements per month. So that's how you can see how the QWiki really, really enables the development of the organization in the end.
Yeah, that's super interesting. Cool. And how does it look like? How do you map processes in QWiki?
Yeah, so maybe we stay with the example of the medium-sized company, right? Yeah. Because I think, I mean, Germany is made of medium-sized companies, and in Europe, that's kind of the backbone of our society.
Yeah.
For a medium-sized company, it might look like you have on the first level, you have a process map, right? Which is just a simplified process-orientated model of your organization. And if I, like in my client work, ask companies if they have one, if they already thought about one, the point that's very important here is to be mutually exclusive and collectively exhaustive. And that's because if you start in the system, right, you want to see everything, and you should be able to click to level 2, mm-hmm. to the process overviews. And they basically are a more detailed overview of the processes in that area. And they give you an easy entry to level 3. So if you click on the process name, that's in the end the process description. That's the process model that often the end user is actually looking for, right?
Yeah.
So that's why we say, or that's why a customer of ours, for example, had the slogan that in the past it needed 3 months or 3 weeks, I think, to retrieve an information from somewhere, and now it's 3 clicks. So you go level 1, level 2, level 3. And,
they made
a huge project marketing effort from that. And then you have obviously level 4, which is like very concrete work descriptions, Excel documents, you know, everything, the nitty gritty details of, the things that you actually need to conduct the process, right? So that would be the 4 level of a medium sized company. And, obviously here form follows function, right? So, if you have like a company that's a multinational company with, multiple geographical sites, you know, they might have production sites somewhere, they would, before that, have a, let's say, level 0, which would give you an overview of all the sites with their respective process maps. And to them, they are inherited global guidelines, right? So you, mm-hmm. you might have processes that are overspanning all sites, and then they are inherited to the local process maps of the production sites, for example.
Okay. So, and where do you graphically map the process flow? Is that on level 3 then? And which notation are you using? Or is that level 4?
So yes, it would be level three.
Okay.
And you can use different ones.
Okay.
And I won't bore your listeners with the details of BPM MN, for example, but I think the one that's maybe or might come to a surprise for somebody is that we are really successful with just tabular form. So just bullet points that are ordered or that are in a table, basically, where you have all the documents you need attached to that, where you have the links to other systems that you need to use to conduct the process, where there's roles that are mapped to the process step, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that might be interesting to have a look at if you didn't see it yet. And I guess later we come to the point where listeners can have a look at that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, then let's dive deeper into the modeling of the processes. However you do that, if you do that in written or in graphical. So let's imagine you are a process modeler and you want to map processes. How do I proceed? What do I do? How do I go into the tool and bring the information there in the end?
So first of all, in reality, I think sometimes people don't know if they are about to model a process because they don't know if somebody already did it. So I would describe the process of creating new process in three steps. But this comes to the assumption that beforehand you actually know that there is a gap you have to fill, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe let's start with the first assumption, which is, you know that you want to create a new process, and then it's the three steps, right? You navigate to the correct location. So if, for example, you want to create a process that's about conducting a new sales presentation, you should navigate to the respective area, which would be win customers, for example. So mm-hmm. on the process map, you click on win customers, and there you can just use the button create a new process. And then as a third step, you can enter all the details in the given process template, right? So we want some unity in the system. So we start with a process template. And here, I think for an organization, it's very important. If you think about the value that you are delivering there, it is very important to hit the right level of detail here. Because in a sample size, we once assessed that 88.2%. So you could argue if it's 80 or 90, but 88.2% in that sample of processes change of changing processes are taking place on the level how should a process be carried mm-hmm. out and not which process steps come next. So you're not changing the big pictures, but details, right? And that's the secret sauce in the end. So focusing on the important details, the ones that are mission critical, that ones that enable people to do the right thing, and link the documents that are needed, share the knowledge about how to do it, and basically share everything that's necessary mm-hmm. to the process participant.
Okay, that's interesting, and I definitely recommend our listeners to have a closer look onto the tool to see how it looks like there. But let's imagine now I'm an employee and I want to retrieve process information for a specific activity. How do I proceed? I log into the tool and then?
Yeah, sure. So I hope you're already logged in because of, single sign-on, etc.
Oh, yeah, okay.
but I guess there's three ways of doing that. First is just clicking on the process map, right? So that's the same way of finding the information as the person does who actually creates the new process. So first would be navigating through the process map. Second would be just use the search. There's a top bar search, and the search goes through all the process models, all the work instructions, mm-hmm. And even all the attached documents, right? So if you have an Excel file or in PDF where the given search term is inserted, you'll also find that. And the third way would be to use your own favorite pages on your personal page. So if you mm-hmm. use QWiki for some years, you might put favorites on, the processes you typically need, role-based basically, and then you have an overview there. So I guess that's the three ways I always think about. So navigating through the process map, using the top bar search, or going to favorite pages. But obviously, technically, there's more, right? Somebody could send you a link, say, hi, Mikko, just you might have a look at the conducting sales presentation thing. That's new. Maybe you can give me your opinion here. And that's also a way, definitely.
And can I also ask the Viking?
No, you can't. but that's actually a great idea. I would love that. I'll speak to product management afterwards.
Yeah, definitely you should. For me, it was like this customer support feature you might know from all the different websites where on the right-hand side corner bottom that pops up and you can ask what you're looking for, something like that. So
that's a great idea. I mean, we could just use the same search function,
exactly.
Right? That's in the top bar search and put it in the Viking, you know, what process are you looking for?
Yeah.
that's a great idea. Thanks for that one.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe we can see that in an upcoming release. That's cool. Yeah, perfect. Then let's talk about the new process principles, which help to get to more human-centric BPM approach. And there, I would like to know, like, how does your tool support to inspire people for excellent processes?
Yeah, so that's a great question because, you know, first of all, you have to think, when does somebody feel inspired? Right. And that's very individual. That comes back to culture, comes back to the individual situation. But, if you think about that hard, really nobody feels inspired by just sitting on the sideline. Right.
Yeah.
And, imagine the example of a sales leader or a head of production, maybe. And think about them proudly reading out rules written by others. And I think that's very unlikely. And that's why we, with Kuviki, we put people into the driver's seat by decentralizing process ownership, basically. And in that way, true knowledge experts feel and actually are responsible for their process. And that's just not achieved by writing somebody else's role or department in the swim lane.
Yeah.
And I think that's a huge misconception in process management in general. I think it's rather achieved by giving somebody the tools to create, change, and improve their content and to actually make it their own, right? Because in the end, if you think about it, it's insane. If you have a production process in reality and somebody who's leading that in reality, and then you have somebody else that somewhere models a process to that. I mean, how likely is it that that it gains acceptance, right? That the written process model in reality is.
Yeah.
You nearly never see this.
Yeah, that's true.
Really putting somebody in the driver's seat that I think creates a sense of ownership and also a place in the bigger picture, right? If you think about like the war of talent and you know all the people quite quitting, etc., it really helps to have a sense of where am I in the bigger picture, like the work I am doing, where is that contributing to the existence of the organization, to our success, and use that mechanism. And now think about the sales leader mentioned earlier, because with that sense of ownership, nobody really wonders that she really cares about the implementation of the process and is highly motivated to bring that process orientation from the model into her department, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's in the end how process management, I'll say grassroots process management, helps to inspire people, I guess.
Yeah. So the idea there is that, like, the sales leader can put in his or her own processes or all the details into the tool, right?
Exactly. And you can work with approval workflows there. So maybe you have process management looking over that, etc. Just to have some like a security net. In the end, yes, it's giving everybody the chance to enrich process models, to create process models.
Okay. That's a super interesting approach. And Yeah, I have some images already in my mind, which I used in the past several times, that the leader of a team of mechanics climbs on a box, and once a week he reads out the new processes to the employees, which were provided to him by a central department, which definitely is not convincing if you're standing there.
That.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah, cool. And let's talk about another new process principle, which is to disrupt established processes, which doesn't mean to destroy established processes, but to rethink what is there and to, yeah, encourage the people to rethink processes. So how does QWiki support to disrupt established processes?
So I love that you point out that disruption is not destruction, because I think that's a fear that comes hand in hand with the word for some people, or for some organizations. And I guess ultimately it comes down to two drivers. One is the question: is disruptive behavior rewarded in my organization? Is it useful to the organization? And two, how costly or time consuming maybe is it to disrupt the process? Right. And if you think about the first, the behavioral rewards, I guess that's mainly, even if I would love to be able to change that with a tool, I guess it's mainly a cultural thing in a given organization. So you can ask yourself, is it seen as a positive trait to act disruptively? Or how positive is direction or was direction the path to disruptive behavior? Is it publicly supported by leadership? Is it really welcomed?
Yeah.
And, yes. So I think as a tool, you can only serve the company culture. It will be, you will have a very hard time to actually change it, like from one day to the other. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, looking at the second question, that's the cost of disruption. We really, really try to minimize that one with our tool. So just to give you an idea of how, basically nothing can break in the tool, right? So the user has the security that nothing can break through automatic versioning when changes are made, etc. Mm. So that gives you a sense of security first. Then basically just through the existence of QWiki, you create the opportunity. So everybody can propose a change to an existing process, which gives you the opportunity to disrupt in the first place. And, if then it comes back to company culture, if then it's also welcomed, you have a way of disrupting. Further, it's easy control, so you know, fast approval through automated information flow to process owners, etc. So actually, it feels easier as a leader to give away some of the control, to let people come in and enrich process model, create process model, if you still have an easy way of controlling things, so that you can see that there's no chaos going on, etc. Because I think that's a fear. I think you were smiling at that one because that's something you recognize.
Yeah, definitely.
Also a very lightweight way of information distribution, right? So once you disrupt the process, a new process is created or something's changed, with our tool, we really offer easy ways of information flow, right? So it might be read receipts sending out to participants, and so they can confirm they read, and that's one of the ways that you can very easily distribute the new information that's necessary to make the disruption sustainable. In the end, I mean, disrupting is one thing. The other thing is how likely are the odds that this disruption becomes the new reality? And that's very strongly connected to easy consumption of the disrupted process. So, that's why, for example, we, in the software give readers a chance to just automatically compare the old against the new process model. And then they rightly see, you know, that change, that's gone, that's new. So I think, we really, really, really try to lower the cost of disruption. And then in the end, an organization, and that might come back to several factors, has to think about for themselves how much, how big of a disruption, can we stomach?
Yeah. Okay. I really like breaking that down, to the different features of the tour. So thanks for that. And I also love the cultural aspects, which you mentioned in the beginning. And yeah, but with regards to rethinking processes, it's always good to question the patterns of the existing processes there. And
sure,
that's cool.
Sure. And I mean, that's great. I read lots of articles from you, and also in the podcast where you really think about the purpose of a process,
yeah.
Right? So because sometimes, you know, market changes and the purpose is just not given anymore. And then you should be able to just discard the process and just leave it. I mean, it made good use in the past, but maybe it's not of use anymore. And we can come up with another process. And the cost of doing that should be very low.
Yeah, that's true. But it's really hard from an emotional perspective to let go of existing processes.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Super interesting. Is there anything else in terms of rethinking processes that our listeners should know about QWiki?
Yeah, so maybe coming back to a point I made earlier, and that's really think hard about whom are you addressing with your process models.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a human being? Is it a machine? Is it a piece of software? And that's something I think that is overseen sometimes,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, you learn about this process notation and there's this fancy tool and, you know, you can have automatic conformance checking with process mining. And that's great. I'm kind of a data nerd, I would say, and I love to see those developments, but those are for a few people in an organization. And
yeah.
I guess that's an expert tool, and that's good. If that's your use case, do that. But if you're trying to, you know, enable process participants with shared knowledge, then you should maybe think about that and how you achieve that.
Yeah.
Okay. And the second would be, you know, do you really want to engage process participant in the knowledge sharing, right? And if yes, you want, you see that it makes sense to have the ones that actually conduct the processes, kind of somehow bringing their knowledge to the process, then looking for a tool, you should be aligned to that. The tool should be aligned to that. And a very, very practical, easy way of checking that would be to check if the tool distinguishes between, you know, reading and writing licenses.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very easy way of doing that, because if you think about, you know, if a license model is created in a way that a writing license is way more expensive than a viewing license, really think hard about how you are going to use that tool, right?
Yeah.
And don't be surprised if you'll see in reality that the writing will be done by a few for all the others.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, cool. And I think we'll have a closer look onto the pricing model of your tool in a few seconds. But before, I would love to have a broader outlook into the future. And I would like to ask you which developments you see in the market of BPM tools right now coming up.
So, first of all, maybe I'm not the best one to ask. I don't have the broad overview, I guess. But in the end, for me, process management and process management tools for that are supporting tools, right? To support the emerging trends and challenges in the business world and in a broader sense in society as a whole. And with that being said, you could try to derive BPM trends from societal trends, right? Or from organizational trends. And maybe to name a few, and you can choose the one that I can elaborate on that later. But I would say there's a higher speed of change, firstly. Secondly, regulation is increasing. Third, digitalization. Fourth, higher fluctuations. And five, or closing, I would say that process orientation is here to stay. And but process variance might become more important. I'm not sure. Do you want me to speak on any of those? Because I have several opinions.
So I would be curious what you think about regulations there.
Yeah. So I guess we can agree that there is more and more regulatory requirements placed on companies, and that's not judgmental, right? It's there's cybersecurity, there's sustainability, and there's just things that we have to take care of as a society, and organizations follow that. And so I think companies should really think hard about if they have a smooth way of operationalizing those regulations, those policies, etc., into their organizations effectively, because that's the whole point of regulation, right? That somehow something changes somewhere, and so I think that integrated process models are the way to go here. Because if you do not integrate different domains, let's say with sustainability and information security, maybe, into one and the same process, you will most certainly run into compliance problems somewhere. And I guess that's a very big chance for a business process management in general to moderate those different requirements, that regulations, into process in an integrated way, so that a process participant has an easy way to be compliant. And that's a topic, I think, that the integrated process, that's something that will be in the focus in upcoming years.
Okay, that's super interesting. You know, I'm coming from a highly regulated aviation industry. So just a quick deep dive question on that. Are there already features in the tool supporting addressing different legal or normative requirements into processes?
Yes. So there's multiple ways in KuWiKit of doing that, but I think in the end it always comes back to what are you trying to achieve. And I think looking at all the compliance topics, you try to achieve compliant behavior, right? So that's why we say the process model that is used by the process participant should, at the point or at the process step where it is necessary, should link to, you know, the information security regulation, or that, you know, risks that arise from, you know, a specific domain from the aviation sector, for example, are attached to the process. And it always, the idea always is to integrate those regulations into the process so that the process owner actually can make sure that it follows. Because think about it the other way. If you just, and that's things I see in reality, if you just write policies and guidelines and all those things, and you just put them next to each other somewhere on a file server, I mean, who reads those 140 pages documents about information security, right? You have to think really hard about where's that paragraph? Where do I have to follow that? In which process steps should that be integrated? And that's the whole point in KuWiKi, and that's how we also have, for example, a list of standards in the KuWiKi, where you can map, you know, chapters of a given standard to the processes, and where you can show in a very easy way that you fulfill those standards.
Okay, yeah, that's very good. Ah, that's super interesting. Maybe it's already too detailed to ask different questions on that, but I'm somehow a nerd on connecting legal and normative requirements to processes, do conformity check there, and so on too.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, we can make a different podcast about that, but I think it's a very, very hard thing, right? Because you have all those domain experts. You have the cybersecurity guy. You have, a person who's taking care, or multiple persons taking care about the aviation specifics. Yeah. You know, quality is there. And there's all those different domain experts. And really, if you think hard about it, do they have an incentive to integrate? And that's, we're speaking about the emotional point, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's really, really, really hard to break up those structures, and integrating that in the process model. But if you achieve that, I mean, it's a hell of a weapon.
Yeah, exactly. So from an employee perspective, it should be invisible. If this is something coming from this or that requirement, I just want to perform my process without thinking about all the requirements in the background. Yeah, that's super cool. So that's also an interesting part. But let's get back to the more general topics. So what is specifically on the roadmap for the further development of QWiki?
So I'm not sure about if my developers and product management like me to speak about that. But there's many specific ideas and features which I already know will be rolled out in the coming months. But maybe to just give you a more holistic view about how we think about the future of the tool, we really, really, really think that it is crucially to be fast on your feet as an organization. And that will be a growing competitive advantage in the future. That will bring you to more customer, less cost, faster time to market, etc. So everything you want. And this skill basically goes hand in hand with your organizational competence of implementing changes to your processes very fast. And with QWiki, we therefore really care about the life cycle costs of in processes and its related process model and the changes to it. And we think it shouldn't cost you much to change, right? So you should try about lowering those costs because you know that you will need to change often faster. And if you think about that in detail, because many people just think, oh, it's a change to a process, right? But it's many steps, right? So you might start, and I learned that from you, to define a process a purpose. You model a process. You have different people approve the model. You instruct participants. They might read the process description. They might interpret it. They might conduct the processes somewhere. And one might audit it afterwards. You might measure it, consolidate all the ideas about improvement, and then again make changes to it. And the whole cycle starts all over until you we spoke about that earlier, discard the process because it's the purpose is not given anymore. Which again is often not trivial if you think about it. And the biggest part of the actual value that is delivered to the end customer is, I think, in the conduction of the process. And all the other steps, defining, modeling, approving, instructing, reading, etc., all the other steps, we should really, really, really think hard about focusing on automation, streamlining all the other steps to really focus on the conduction of the process, because that's where value is created. And all the others, they are not, I mean, you can't just get rid of them, but you have to think about, and we really, with our tool, think about streamlining that, right? Because we think that will be a competitive advantage too. Companies and our customers in the future.
Okay, very good. You already picked the pricing model up when talking about the tool before, but let's have a closer look onto that. So how does the pricing model for the tool look like?
Yeah, so first of all, it's very transparent on our website, so maybe we can, we can link to that or something.
Sure.
In the end, it's scaling with the number of employees you have, right? So, and it's decreasing. So if, let's say, for example, you have a company of 1,000 employees and you just use the QWiki we're speaking about and you don't use all the fancy no-code digitalization, etc., it would be 1,960 euros a month. And obviously, if you're smaller or bigger, that price differs, right?
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So for just a startup with about 50 employees?
I checked it this morning and it's 275 euros per month. So that's basically what you're looking at.
Okay. But the numbers are on the website as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just a slider and you can look at them.
Okay. That's easy. So, that will be the location to go to your website if I want to learn more about the tool, or are there other sources you would recommend?
No, I think, our website is the best point to start there.
Okay.
I guess everything is on it, and there's navigations to bring you to the information that you need in the moment.
Yeah. Okay. I put the link into the show notes so it can be easily retrieved by our listeners. Perfect. Cool. That was super interesting flight. I would say we're already arrived at the final destination here. But before we leave the aircraft, is there anything else you would like to share with our listeners?
Speaking about regulations, etc., I think at some points the discussion might be a bit theoretical. So I really want you, or I want to invite you to look at two things. One is maybe just try KuWiki yourself. If you go to our website, there's an option where you can just say you want to test the KuWiki, and you know, you can just create your free test system for our website.
And it is really as easy as you just described, because we talked up front a few weeks ago and you said, just go there. And I just entered my email address and account was created and I was able to see the Viking there. So yeah. It's a really easy process. So not much talking to your sales guys and so on. Yeah, just try it out.
Right? It's very streamlined. And actually sometimes people ask me, well, I mean, you must hold back some features there. No, we just give you 60 days and you can mm-hmm. try yourself. You can use the full set of features. And that's our offer. You can just create your own set test system there and try the Viking.
Yeah, exactly. This is what I want to tell the people out there. Just go there and log in to find out more about the Viking. That's a super cool feature, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing that I would like to invite your listeners to might be just to take a look at our real world examples on our website. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can speak about interactivity and user engagement all day long, but we got examples of real world companies on our website. So for example, there's this story of a company with about 250 employees that saves over €1 million a year with KuWiki by engaging employees in process discussions. And also having so much handling of the process models automated in the background. And I think that's really interesting because, you know, sometimes there's this discussion about value delivered by systems, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're listening and you're looking for a BPM tool, you might stand in front of the challenge of you know proving the value, and that's very detailed there. They really looked into all the driving factors, and there's much of the engagement rates, etc., is transparent there. So
okay, I think I just put the links into the show notes as well.
Yeah,
so
that's great.
Can be easily found by the listeners. Cool. Vincent, thank you so much for flying with New Process Podcast here. Just my final question, as always, how would you describe your flight experience with just three words?
I'm not good at three words. but I started with saying that I normally sleep during flights and I didn't hear. and I said I would be unexcited about processes. And now, you know, speaking to you and thinking about the topic in more detail, that might be wrong. Maybe I'm very excited about processes in the end, or at least about how organizations can really make it their competitive advantage. So yeah, it was great. Thanks, Mirko.
Yeah, thank you very much for providing all these insights, and I'm really looking forward to learn more about the tool in the future. So have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Mirko.
Let's recap today's new process inspiration.
Yeah, cool. Have I already said that I really love the Viking? So for me, this is a super cool feature to interact with the users, to provide information and to entertain them, as we discussed it in the interview. And as we also already talked about, I could imagine that it would be possible to push this feature even further and transform the Viking into an interactive character which guides the users through the tool and through the processes as well. So I also find their wiki-based approach really interesting. So even if it's possible to add graphical process models to their process descriptions, they focus on describing the processes like in a wiki in a text-based way. So that's a very interesting approach from my point of view, and you should definitely try it out on your own. Therefore, just go to their website and create a test account. It's really as simple as we described it. Yeah, cool. So let's have an outlook to what is coming up. Even if there are so many exciting topics on the list, I have decided to switch back to a bi-weekly publishing schedule for some weeks at least, because I realized that I need more time to really work through all the insights of the expert interviews and to extract all the learnings for you. And yeah, that's why I'm going back to a bi-weekly publishing schedule. But in the next episode, we'll deep dive into the topic of process strategy. Therefore, I will be talking to a real strategy expert, and I'll try to figure out how to apply all his expertise to processes, to create a process strategy, for example. So, for today, thank you very much for listening. Bye-bye and auf Wiedersehen.
You've been listening to the New Process Podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode for more tools, methods, and best practices to rethink your process and push it to the next level. Thank you for listening.
So, before you leave, in the episode, we briefly talked about process purpose. And for me, developing a process purpose is a super weapon to inspire people for processes. And if you would like to learn more about how to develop a process purpose, then just go to newprocesslab.com/purpose and download the free process purpose canvas there and check out how to use this to develop a process purpose and inspire your people for your processes. So enjoy. Have a great day. Bye-bye.